Kathy McCullough, private citizen.
It's been a long time since you've been able to say that.
Yeah, actually, it has. It's been a great journey. Not just the last sort of 10 or 12 years in the child sex trafficking field, but just I didn't even start working until I was in my 40s. And so I feel like I've done exactly what I wanted to do.
What were you doing before you got involved in the advocacy work for sex trafficking?
I was first a psychotherapist, and then I started my own nonprofit that worked with middle school girls around self-esteem and self-awareness, and then moved over into the child sex trafficking field. I did some work with Goal with the girls that were at Angela's house, and we would take them up into the wilderness, and they'd have a weekend up there in the mountains of North Georgia. So I did that even while I was at Goal, and then when I left Goal, I...
And Angela's house was a facility for young girls who had been victims through either prostitution or trafficking, is that...?
Yes, it was the first safe house in the Southeast for girls who had been trafficked, and it no longer exists, but it sort of set the model around here for how to work with girls.
Kathy, when did you recognize or start to realize that sex trafficking, particularly of minors, was really at an epidemic level? People maybe didn't talk about it.
That really probably until I'd been involved with the Juvenile Justice Fund for a while and we started running the research that we were running and seeing the tremendous increases in numbers on a monthly basis. And at one point, I think that was the point at which we had about 500 girls a month that were being prostituted over the four portals that we were looking at. And we had done enough research at that point that we could trend out that number. And it was what that was, that if we weren't going to be doing, if nothing more was done than what was being done, we were going to be looking at 1,500 girls a month by the year. And I think it was either 2013 or 2015. I can't remember which one. But it was just rapidly going up.
And you remember a time when the advocacy efforts were obviously smaller than now in terms of percentage, in terms of organizations, and even having an alliance with lawmakers and some of the authorities. Can you take me back to when and sort of how you feel about how that's evolved now to the efforts, the total collaboration of efforts in combating trafficking?
Yeah, I remember back, I think it was the year 2000, and at that point it was still a misdemeanor to pimp a minor in Georgia. And that effort really, it didn't, it was almost a no-brainer when you really heard that. It was like, you got to be kidding me. There really wasn't much done legislatively from 2000 until probably 2007 or 8. They were, the Juvenile Justice Fund, which is now Youth Spark, was sort of the lone voice in the city around this issue.
And then nationally, we started seeing these sort of rankings or listings of cities that were considered major hubs for child sex trafficking. And then Atlanta, you started seeing Atlanta in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to know, when you saw that, did you sort of see a shift in terms of people saying, well, hey, wait a minute, we've got to do something about this? Because now the city of Atlanta is sort of being depicted as this major hub for sex trafficking. We can't have that.
I did. And it would be said as if Atlanta is the number one hub because of it starting with an A, and so it was the first on the FBI's list. And somehow being able to say we're one of the worst then made it okay to be going after this, as opposed to, you know, in my mind, even if you're in Kansas or something like that, and one of your girls, so you're not one of the worst, but that girl is every bit as important as a one girl in Atlanta. But somehow it takes us seeing it in our backyard before we give ourselves the passion to go after it, as opposed to it being wrong.
How far has Georgia come in tackling this issue from when you first started?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how to quantify that in any kind of a way. We've gone from one juvenile court judge seeing it in front of her and being willing to speak up to an entire governmental agency, the Governor's Office for Children and Families, that has taken this on and is spearheading a task force in the private sector, from one tiny little NGO to a myriad of NGOs.
Looking back at the years you've been involved in combating sex trafficking, and it seems like a dumb question to say, well, was it all worth it? You know, you get those questions when someone retires or, you know, someone walks away from something they've been doing for a long time. I don't want to ask you, was it worth it? But I want to ask you, what was the worth of the work that you were involved in?
I'm 68. And at some point in that aging process, you really get that you're not going to be around forever. You sort of know it intellectually all your life. And the most worth that I can put on it is that this work ranks right under my children. And because of having walked the walk that I walked, and I can't feel more proud of. It's not a patting myself on the back kind of pride. It's just a sense of fullness of heart, and you want to feel like you're leaving the world a better place. And I do. I do. It's not done. It can't stop. But it's better. Way better.
Kathy McCullough, private citizen now. Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. Thank you.
You're welcome.